Well, this has been one of those crazy weeks. You ever have one of those crazy weeks where your mind isn't where it probably should be? Your heart kind of gets off track and gets off kilter. And I just want to confess before you, my people, that even sometimes your pastor doesn't have it all together. There's times when my attitude goes south and goes sour. When there's times when things come out of my mouth that I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? And so I want to confess that to you. And I just want to take a time that if you've had kind of one of those weeks, that we can just kind of go before God, confess it, get it out, get it cleaned out, and get back on the right track. All right? So let's pray together. Lord, we are a mess. You know that full. You know that well. And God, we just want to admit to the times that we've fallen, where we've stumbled, where we've failed, where we've not represented you correctly. Lord, for attitudes, for thoughts, for words, for deeds that have just pained your heart, we're sorry. And today, I just pray that you would come and by the blood of Jesus, wash it all away. And that you would set us back on the path that leads to life. That you would brush us off, that you would stand us up, and that you would give us a good swift kick in the pants, God, that we would go out there and do better this week. We love you and thank you that you're a God that we can come to and admit and confess and just tell you we've blown it, and that you listen and that your heart is moved by our repentance. So today, God, I just pray that you fill this preacher with your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, the attitudes and the things in me this past week that were not of you, Lord, just remove those. And if you can use somebody just like me today to preach this word, then God, would you do it? And I pray today that for those that have stumbled and fallen and that have failed this week that are here to hear, that God, you would give them ears to hear and that they would receive not from me today, but from you. That's our desire, is to have a meeting time with you, Jesus. So we give you our lives, we give you ourselves, we give you everything, and we pray that you would come and make something miraculous of it in the blessed, precious, awesome name of our Savior who has already forgiven us, Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. I am glad to see you. I didn't see you last weekend. Did everybody make it through Thanksgiving and Black Friday appropriately? Did anybody go through Black Friday? Any Black Friday shoppers here? Oh, the brave souls. You know, I went one time Black Friday for the doorbusters, and it was crazy. Like, there was kicking, and there was biting, and scratching, and fighting, and all kind of cussing, and that was just at the Christian bookstore, you know? It's like, holy cow, people actually do this to save money. And so now I go way later in the day when everything has been rummaged through and things are tattered and torn, and I just want to lift up the people that are working that day, you know, just to say, hey, the day is almost over, you're going to make it, you know? But one of the things that I had to deal with this past Black Friday, a week ago, was I didn't have a black eye, I didn't have a swollen lip, I had no broken bones or scratches or bite marks, but I did have this bad case of earworm. You ever got earworm? I mean, it's nasty. It sounds gross, it sounds painful, but actually what a earworm is when you get one of those little annoying songs stuck in your head and it just plays on repeat over and over and over again. You ever had that? You know, I even got another one this weekend. It was like, I can't get away from them. You know earworms, right? Don't worry. Oh. Be happy. All right. Later on today, as you're singing that, you can thank me later. Okay. This past weekend, it's all about that bass. That bass. That bass. Not the treble, but that bass. That bass. Oh. And last weekend, it was the Peyton Manning commercial. I was watching a lot of football, and he's going around, he's like, and you see him in another part of his house, he's like, chicken parm, you taste so good. And then at the very end of the commercial, it's Nationwide is on your side, right? So You know what earworms are. You've had them. You're probably going to have them later today, thanks to me. But if you've listened to any Disney song, anybody got like little ones and you're watching Frozen 17 times a day, you have an earworm. Let it go. Let it go. My little girl goes to our lobby in our house, our little foyer area, because it echoes. And she loves to sing, and she gets all dramatic in there, and it's great, it's precious. But as I'm singing at 11 o'clock at night, Let It Go, it's a little distracting. So we know about it, don't we? In this time of year, as you're going through the malls and you're going to different places, maybe you've got your radio set in your car to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You know, you get that earworm. Or Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Or Oh Christmas Tree. I don't know the words to that song. And so when I get an earworm there, it's just Oh Christmas Tree over and over and over again. You know, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree. Oh my goodness. Well, tonight, today, yeah, it's still morning. It's really early in the morning, matter of fact. I want us to look at O Holy Night, the Christmas carol. And my desire is, I want to give it to you as an earworm, not just for today, but I hope that it becomes an earworm that you can rely on to carry you through the entire holiday season. Would that be okay? What I want to do is I want to focus in on one phrase in that song. The phrase is this: a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I think if there's two words that more accurately describe our world today, I don't know them. The two words I think that most accurately describe our world is weary. Weary world. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we live in a world filled with fear and anxiety. There's so much uncertainty in the economy and other things. Relationships are messed up. Every third person seems to have some kind of serious disease they're fighting. There's terror threats. There's Ebola. There's civil unrest. There's natural disasters. Campus shootings. We could go on and on and on about the things that are going on in our world today that we're dealing with. And it's all we can do to keep our heads above water, isn't it? I mean, it's just a struggle. We can relate to weary world. At least I can. Maybe you can't. Maybe your world is in a cocoon. But I definitely can relate to the weary world. For centuries, people would hope that the Messiah would come. And that on that day that he arrived, everything would be different. They awaited the thrill of hope. Now, my prayer today is that if there's any weary world in you today, that you will experience that thrill of hope. Because even in the chaos of a weary world night, a new and glorious morning has arrived. It is dawn. This holiday season, I want us not just to focus on that one holy night. We kind of get the Christmas story encapsulated in Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and the shepherds and the stars and the angels. And we take a snapshot of just that one moment. But I hope we don't get frozen there. I want us to go on to the next day, that new and glorious morn, because everything is different because Christ the Messiah has come, and he has changed literally everything. Let's take our earworm and focus it down even more. Let's focus this morning on a new and glorious morn. What I want to do is I want to take you back to the Old Testament, if we could, to the book of Lamentations. In the year 586 B.C., Jerusalem had fallen, and the Israelite nation was just distraught. The prophet Jeremiah was lamenting. He was hurting. He was grieving along with the rest of the nation. And in this book, he's just pouring out his heart and his heartbreak. When you get to chapter 3, there is something very special that happens. A switch occurs. He moves from mourning to a moment of faith. And I love this. He says this in verse 20. I well remember them. He talks about the bitterness and the wormwood and the gall. He's like, I remember all of the difficult things. And my soul is downcast within me. How many of you have a downcast soul this morning? This may be for you. In other words, he's remembering all that's going on, and he's not closing his eyes to it. He's not putting his fingers in his ears. You know how we can kind of do? We want to shut the world out, pretend like nothing's going on. He's not doing that. He's acknowledging that there is some real life-altering, significant difficulties taking place. And in verse 21, he says this, "I remember those things, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope." He says, I'm going to remember this truth. Even as I'm remembering all the difficulties, I'm going to remember this truth. And here's the truth. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Then he goes from talking about God. He just looks straight up and he's like, God, great is your faithfulness. I love that. You know, you can be talking about God and all of a sudden you just have to step back, kick yourself and be like, God, you're awesome. And that's what he does right there in Lamentations. Lord's great kindnesses were not consumed. His love, his compassions, they never fail. God, great is your faithfulness. And then he comes back to earth. And then he says to himself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know, it's amazing what a difference a new day in Christ can bring. And I just want to share with you today three simple truths that can bring you a thrill of hope when your weary world is in darkness. The first thing I want to share with you, based out of what we're reading here in Lamentations, is this. A new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. It brings you exactly what you need. Notice I didn't say it brings you what you want. It brings you what you need. My children are very famous for wanting chocolate cake at breakfast. But that is not what they need, is it? What they need is something nutritious to get all the things fired up in the morning, to get their systems at the peak of performance. We are the same way. There's a lot of things in this world we want, but there's really very few things we actually need. And the Bible says Christ will take care of those things that we need. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 says this, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is my portion. What does that mean? Well, many scholars believe it's referring back to Exodus chapter 16, when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and God provided manna from heaven. You remember that? Where every morning they would go out and the ground would just be covered with this white flaky bread from heaven. And God provided it each and every morning, and they were to go out and collect just enough for the day. The day before the Sabbath, they were to go and collect double because they were not to do any work on the Sabbath. But they were to collect just enough to take care of themselves for that day and then trust God to provide for the next day. If they began to hoard it or stockpile it, you know what would happen? It would ruin. It would spoil. There would be maggots that would infest it, and it would be no good. God was trying to hammer home the fact that He could be counted on in a daily way to be their provision, to take care of their needs. It's really exactly what Jesus does in the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Over in the New Testament, what does Jesus do? How does He teach us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. He's wanting us to know that we need God every single day. And if we look to God and if we trust God, He'll meet those needs of that day. Paul, over in Philippians chapter 4, 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. David, the shepherd, the king, he reminds us in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What he's basically saying is my shepherd is going to provide for me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to protect me. There is nothing I really am going to have to struggle for or worry about. The shepherd's got it all under control. I love that old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. There's a line in there that says, all I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I want you to do something, all right? And if you've got paper, I know we probably don't have a lot of it. But in your mind, I want you to kind of wrap your minds around the following letters that I give you. It's easier if you write it, but if you don't have paper, it'll still work. Maybe you get your cell phone out, okay? We have those, right? I want you to write these down, no spaces in between. G-O-D. I S N O W H E R E G O D I S N O W H E R E. Now, depending how you look at this run together word or assortment of letters, you could come up with some very different things, some very different meanings to that sentence. You could put the spaces between God is nowhere, or you can space it out and see that God is now here. Where's the space in your life? You know, if your marriage is struggling, it would be awful tempting to say, God is nowhere. I can't find Him anywhere in this situation. But what you need to do is move the spaces and see that God is now here waiting for you with everything you need. If you're weak today, it would be very easy to look up to heaven and be like, God is nowhere. But you need to move the spaces around to see that God is now here. He's with us, and His strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you're down or you're depressed today, it would be really easy to say, God is nowhere. But I want you to see that God is now here, and He is your joy. He is your glory and the lifter of your head, as it says in the Psalms. Maybe you're going through the grieving process today, and it would be really easy to bow your head and wonder, where is God? God seems to be nowhere. But I want you to lift your head and know that the resurrection and the life, God is now here, and He's here to give you a future and a hope. God is now here. A new and glorious morning has dawned, and it brings this promise with it. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Listen, if you're living in a weary world, then what you need today is the presence of God activated in your life, where you notice and feel His reality, His strength, His power, His goodness, His peace, and you allow that to take care of you. Scripture reminds us that the Lord is our portion, therefore we will wait for Him, because a new day with Christ brings exactly what we need. Then the second thing I want to share with you today is a new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. A new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. It's the thrill of hope that causes a weary world to rejoice. It produces faith when all we can see is darkness. It allows us to see that the morning is coming even when we're stranded in the middle of a chaotic, restless, weary night. Sometimes we wonder, will the darkness ever fade out? Will the darkness ever give way to light? Yes, there is hope to keep us going. Lamentations chapter 3:25 says this, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him." The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. Someone once said that we as people, we can live 40 days or so without food. Maybe some of us can live a bit longer than that without food than some of the others of you. But more or less 40 days. We can live several days without water. We can live 4 minutes or so without oxygen. But you know, we can only live a few seconds without hope. If we lose hope, there's almost no chance for us to keep going on. I believe that many today are living in a very hope-deprived life, a very hope-deprived existence. They're struggling to find hope, and in so doing, they're putting their hope in all the wrong places, aren't they? I mean, putting it in the stock market and hoping that will turn things around for them so that they'll have some way to retire. And if you put your hope in the stock market, if you put your hope in a company, then it may go under. Where's the hope then? Maybe you put your hope in another person and in a relationship. And I can tell you this, we're humans. We're going to let you down. We're going to let one another down. So if you do that, we're going to be let down. If you put your hope in the medicines that are available, or if you put your hope in prescriptions or procedures or treatments, we may not get what we expected. The reality is, if we're putting our hope in the wrong places, we're going to wind up wearying ourselves and finding ourselves even more disappointed than we currently are. I love what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says. It says, "Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." I love that picture. It tells us to hold on to hope. Hold on for it for dear life. Grab a hold on to it. If you are a Christian, hold on to it and don't ever let it go, because he who promised is faithful. I believe that there's far too many people that are letting go of the hope that we profess, and they're grabbing on to the fear and anxieties of this life. They're choosing the darkness of the night. I have had way too many friends and too many acquaintances who have chosen suicide over the last couple years. And if I could just have that one more opportunity to let them know the darkness is only going to last for a while. The day is coming. Hope is on its way. Hold on to the faith that you profess. People are letting go of the truth of God, and they're embracing the lies of the evil one. That there's no way out. That there's no way possible for them to get beyond the current situation. And I'm here to tell you, because Jesus lives, there's always hope. Amen. Somebody here needs to hear this today. You come this morning, and you're at the end of your rope, and you're thinking, it's not that far of a fall. Why don't I just give up? Why don't I just let go? Why? Nobody else cares. Nobody will notice the difference. But I'm here to say, yes, there is. We would notice it. We would mourn. We would hurt. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't throw in the towel. Hold on to hope. Yes, it may be dark for a while, and it may be dark for a while longer, but a new day is coming. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. We don't have to think in terms of darkness anymore. We need to give up the darkness. We need to give up the lies and hold on to hope. Can you do that with me today? Maybe we need to hold on to the rope for somebody else that can't hold on. Maybe they're weary and they're struggling and being weary for so long. And we just need to be the rope holders for somebody else to remind them there is hope, because the day is coming. You see, God is now here. The reason we give up is we think God is nowhere. But Christmas tells us, Emmanuel, God is with us. A thrill of hope making it possible for a weary world to rejoice. God is here. And He brings us exactly what we need. And He brings us the hope to keep going. And then lastly this. It brings you the help you're seeking. I don't know where you've come from today. I don't know what you've been involved in. But whatever help you're needing, a new day with Christ can bring that help. A new day with Christ brings exactly what we need, and it brings us the help that we are seeking. Verse 23 says, "It is good to wait." We don't like to do that, do we? If there's more than two people in the line at Walmart, I'm over there being like, "Come on, let's get a new register open, folks. There's places to go, people to see, things to do." It's mind-boggling. You get behind somebody in the fast lane, and they're going 35 in a 55. It's unnerving. We don't like to hesitate. We don't like to wait. But the Bible says it's good to wait for the Lord. If you're struggling today in a weary world of darkness, wait on Him. Some of us today, sitting here, what we need to wait on is the salvation of our soul. You're not here by accident. God has brought you here, some of you, so that you can understand there's a God in heaven that's crazy about you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's got your picture on His refrigerator. The heavenly refrigerator, it's got your picture on it. Christ died for you, and you need to understand that. You don't have to clean up to become a Christian. You don't clean up and then go take a shower. You hop in the shower and let the shower do its work. Some of you have not come to faith in Christ yet because you're not good enough. Listen, if you're waiting for that, you will never be good enough. But He doesn't require that. He wants you to come just as you are and let Him do the job of cleaning you up, sorting things out in your life. Listen, have you ever made that one-time decision where you said, Jesus, I'm messing up my life. I'm a wreck. I've made a lot of wrongs. I've committed a lot of sins. Have you said to Him, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Come in and clean things up and help me to live in a way that leads me to life by the power of Your Holy Spirit? Because if we've not done that, we are not saved. I'm trying to put this as tenderly but firmly as I can. Either you're in Christ or He doesn't know you yet. Either you're a missionary or a mission field. Have you invited Him in? Because here's the cool thing about our God. He's not going to kick in the door like Chuck Norris and just take over. All right, He's not going to go commando and raid your life and eliminate everything else. He's gently knocking. And there's not a knob on the outside of that door. He has to wait to allow you to open up for Him to come in. Have you done that yet? If you haven't, it's really easy. Okay? I'm just going to leave right now. We're having an altar call. Alright? You're not going to have to come forward. But what we're going to do is pray this prayer together. If you've never done this before, I hope that you will embrace it because it will make all the difference, not in the world. It will make all the difference in eternity. It's not limited to the here and now. Oh, you'll begin to see impacts now, but it'll last for the rest of your life and on throughout the annals of eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for those who maybe have never said anything about You yet. That's not taken that step just quite yet. And I pray that this would be the day where they say yes to You. That they would pray this simple prayer. And I would invite all of you who are willing to just say this after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I recognize I've messed up my life.
I recognize I've messed up my life.
I've sinned.
I've sinned.
I've fallen short of Your standard.
Fallen short of Your standard.
And I pray.
And I pray.
That You would enter my heart.
That You would enter my heart.
That You would enter my life.
That You would enter my life.
And change me.
Change me.
Forgive my sin.
Forgive my sin.
Create strength from Your Holy Spirit.
Create strength from Your Holy Spirit.
That will enable me.
That will enable me.
To live for You.
To live for You.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, let us know. There's a little place in your card that says, for the first time I've accepted Christ. I would encourage you to do that. But let somebody else know. Don't keep it to yourself. The devil is going to try to steal that from you. Don't give him an opportunity. Share it. Let other folks know about it. But some of you have already prayed that prayer. And you're waiting for different salvation. You're waiting for God to save you out of a difficult situation. And I want to affirm you that it's amazing what a difference one day with Christ can make. It's hard to put it into words, but it makes all the difference in the world. Think about this. Lazarus in the New Testament had been dead for 4 days. In the King James Version, it says, he stinketh. All right? You know that you're good and dead if the King James Version says you stinking. Alright? But it's amazing when Jesus came into the situation, he who stinketh had been called from the grave. It's amazing what a difference one encounter with Jesus can make. Jesus speaks his name and he comes hopping up out of the tomb in his grave clothes. And everything has changed. Think about this. There was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was suffering. She was embarrassed. She was in pain. She was humiliated. Each and every day, it was the same thing. She was unclean. She was an outcast. And one day, she has an encounter with Jesus. And everything changes when she reaches out and touches the hem of His garment, and everything is taken care of. She's healed immediately. It's amazing what one encounter with Jesus can make. There had been one man in the New Testament who wasn't able to walk since birth. And he was there at the pool of Bethesda, day in, day out, every day of his life, waiting, waiting, waiting until Jesus came by. And Jesus tells him to pick up his mat and walk. And for the first time in 38 years, the man gets up and walks away from the pool. And he would tell us, it's amazing what one day with Christ can make. Some of you need to hear this today. You've been saved for years, but things are falling apart. You're in the middle of a weary world darkness. I'm telling you, there is a thrill of hope that will make your weary world rejoice. A new and glorious morning has come. Some of you look at things and you'll be like, nothing's ever going to be the same. My life has fallen apart, and you need to know Jesus is here today and He can make a difference in your world. Some of you are sick, or someone you love is very sick. I'm telling you, we serve a God who is able to heal because God is now here. He may not heal the way we think, but God has got it. And it's amazing what one day, one experience with Christ can make. Some of you, you may have wayward children and you're wondering, how in the world are they ever going to come back to the faith? Or how in the world are we ever going to be reconciled? But I can tell you this, God is now here, and He's the God who helps the prodigal son find home. Some of you, you're in the middle of the night. You're in the midst of pain and anguish, loneliness, heartache, heartbreak, and despair. And I'm telling you, we serve a God who is able to bring you peace and comfort. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the weary world and in the darkness of your night, you can be reminded that because Jesus was born, you can have hope in the middle of your night too. Because Jesus is here. Because God is now here. He brings us exactly what we need. He brings us the hope to keep going. And a new day with Christ helps us with the help that we're seeking. God is now here. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12 say this. We're end with this. I want to read this to you because this may become a new favorite scripture for some of you. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. Isn't that good news to know that your salvation is nearer now? The night is almost over. The day is almost here. Did you catch that? The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Nighttime is nearly over. Daytime is about to break out. You are nearer to God and your salvation today than you've ever been before. Don't give up hope. For some of you, it is the salvation of your souls. But for the rest of you, it is the fact that your weary world can rejoice. Because the Son of God was born into this weary world. He suffered and died and was raised again for us. And because He lives, there is hope. For yonder breaks, say it with me, a new and glorious morning. Let's pray together. Father God, thank You for reminders. I pray that You would give us that earworm throughout the entire Christmas season. That God, a new and glorious morn is ours. May we live in that hope. May we live in that reality. May we live with Your promises. And may this be the best Christmas we've ever experienced. I pray that You would meet needs, that You would bless lives, that You would heal hurts, that You would do what needs to be done in this place. God, we pray for miracles among us. And we trust You because You have come and You are now here. Make Your presence real and felt in this place. And all God's people said,
Amen.